Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta Sports Talk. You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta Sports Talk.
We'll be right back.
Okay. That was unanticipated. I'm not sure what just happened just there. I think I'm back. Okay, Jordan is nodding yes. I'm not sure what just happened there, Jordan. My whole computer just shut down on me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it just crashed. But I think I'm back on live on Blog Talk as well here. So I forgot what I was asking, though. I blanked out there. Oh, okay. What was I saying? That was just so surprising there. You just finished up talking about Mo Bamba. I was going to – oh, well, first of all, 646-652-4479. We are back live on Around the ATL talking the NBA draft. I'm not sure what – I got told Rashad earlier, right, when technology works, it's wonderful. When it doesn't, though, it's a disaster, right? And we almost had a major disaster, but everything looks like it's working properly right now. Jordan, you're a little garbled there. I think it's because, oh, I see why. I got to take you off. I'm going to put you back on real quick, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's see if that works. All right, there we go.
I don't hear it now.
Okay.
But I had all types of technical issues. And, like, I started charging my tablet up before the interview started. By the time the interview started, it wasn't like, charged for something.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
And so that's why when you came to me for the first question, I wasn't ready because I was using my phone.
Okay, that makes sense now.
And so what I was trying to do was put it on split screen where I could see this on one half of the phone, the camera and whatnot, and see my notes on the other half of the phone. So my apologies to everyone for that, but it just kind of threw me all off. But after a little bit of a start, I do think everything went smoothly. So I'm certainly thankful for that. I'm certainly thankful what just happened as far as the computer shutdown didn't happen while Mr. Phillips was on. So
yeah.
But, you know, this, we'll keep it real show. So, that's what I was fighting with, and the fact that my hotspot is not working for some reason. So once I did get the tablet on, I was unable to connect to the internet, to sync everything. So, you know, I've been kind of trying to duck it to dodge technical difficulties all night long. So my apologies for that. We'll go right ahead, Chris. What were you saying in terms of?
I was talking to shooting guard position, and again, like I said, if Kevin had been more than what he was just on the shooting guard side, because, again, he'd have those light-up games, but then he'd have a 9-point game just out of nowhere, then also really not put that much effort in defense. Hunter, he'll just be kind of – it just looks like he's just kind of out there sometimes, but then he'll have a dominant game that he's carrying the team. If we had had both of them playing at an ultimate level, no matter what our injury situation would have been, we wouldn't have finished in ninth place. We wouldn't have played a two play-in games, and we probably would have finished fourth or fifth, just like Rashad alluded to earlier. So it's a matter of, I don't know who you keep or whatnot. You know, Rashad mentioned Bogey has a little bit of the injury bug a little bit and whatnot, but he's one of the best shooters in the league. Is he better coming off of our bench still? But you can't have Kevin and Bogey coming off the bench. So at a certain point, you have to almost pick somebody, and it's probably would have to be Kevin, but then what do you do? Are you trading him? And if you trade him, what would you be trading him for? You know, and can you get a shooting guard by trading a shooting guard? Or what else do you have to trade to be able to get that second person to help Trey out on the shooting end, the scoring end, so you can avoid those lulls? Because, again, as a team, the Hawks scored 113 points a game. But they also gave up 112. And part of that was we're not scoring. We have these lulls. And when we don't do that, guess what? The other team's getting back in it. And guess what? That points keep going up. You can't win a lot of games when you're giving up as many points as you're scoring. It doesn't work like that. And if you had someone to offset that part of the game on the shooting guard side, to prevent those lulls that happen, you know, completely different story we're talking about. So I don't know where we would go. Again, I mentioned some of those guards that I mentioned earlier. Anthony Simmons could be a possibility. I mean, he shoots very well, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know how you fix that part.
Contract offers on him, and so I think it's going to be very hard to get him. I mean, he had his breakout season. I think the fact that he was playing as well as he played is the reason why they traded C.J. McCollum. You know what I mean? And so they're kind of trying to put this. They did just make a trade today, everyone. They traded a 2025 top five or top four protected draft pick that they had from Milwaukee to the Detroit Pistons and got Jeremy Grant. That happened a couple hours prior to the show. So I think what they're trying to do is put together Lillard, Grant, and Simmons type of deal. The shooting guard position is really tough, man, because as Yoda mentioned, you got Zach LaVine out there, but reports are saying that he's about to sign a five-year deal, probably max, to stay with Chicago. And so that's going to take him off the board. It looks like Donovan Mitchell is not going to be traded this year. It looks like Utah is going to board, look to maybe trade Rudy Gobert and try to retool the team around Mitchell, try to convince him to stay long term. And that's why the move I mentioned with the draft pick move involving Collins, as much as I love this kid, I really don't like honestly to do it. I kind of understand it because the target in that move, if you get that forward pick, would be Jaden Ivey. It would be Jaden Ivey out of Purdue. And so I do think he has the athletic ability, 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", great athlete, a great attacking player, but also a lot of people, like, with his ability to attack, a lot of people compare his game to Ja Morant. He kind of looks like Ja, you know, as far as the style and whatnot, hairstyle, the way he play style, attacking style, but the difference with that is he's a much better shooter already from three-point range. So that's the reason why I can see such a move like that, you know, being in the works or being possible, because since there aren't many options already out there shooting guard, that would be the Hawks taking a swing and say, okay, we're going to trade up in the draft, we're going to try to get a shooting guard, even though he'll be a rookie that we can bring along. And we'd have a guy like Harrison Barnes, who is not as good as John Collins. Don't get it twisted, but he is a professional, does have a championship, but is not a bad player. So I can see that, you know, being a possible way to get a shooting guard. But it's hard. Otherwise, you know, you may have to take 1-16 if you're not able to do that. Jaden Hardy, got a lot of Jadens going on here. Jaden Ivey, Jaden Hardy, but Jaden Hardy would be a guy who could possibly grow into that. In the future as well. And it's just unfortunate because it seems like most of the better players available this offseason are centers, DeAndre Ayton, Rudy Gobert, you know, and we already have a center waiting in the wing in Okongwu, who we drafted number 6 overall. So it becomes a good old place to power forward, possibly, if he can work on his shot and start to be able to knock down at least open shots when, you know, people leave him wide open in the corner or whatnot. Aside from that, it is going to be very hard to get a shooting guard, so I do think you have to look to the draft. And, you know, real quick, I do want to mention about Rudy Gobert. He's an interesting player. He makes a lot of money. He's older than our current core. But the one thing about Rudy Gobert, if you get him, you're going to win 50 games this season. Because I don't think Rudy, since he's matured as a player, has ever had Utah below 10th in defensive ranking throughout his career. So if you can move the Hawks up to 10th in defense, already having a top, you know, 3 offense last year, and even if, you know, you switch some pieces around, maybe that falls from 3rd to 5th. But if you got a top 5 offense or a top 10 defense, you're going to win games. The only question about that is, does it cap your ceiling? Is it enough to win a championship? Even though I might add, he's light years better than Clint Capela on defense, and he is a better finisher on offense as well. So That's an interesting one out there. Certainly not my favorite move at all, but it does.
Something to think about. Yeah, something to consider, because again, consistency goes a long way. I mean, 646-652-4479, call in. We still got a little bit of time. Consistency goes a long way, and winning breeds championship pedigree at a certain point too. So that's something to definitely think about. I feel that, again, we're at that precipice where this could go either really bad really quick, or we could be back in the conference finals again. You know, and again, just like Rashad, you know, said earlier, we're not that far away relatively. This team had all the aspects to be a competitive team, and we just weren't for several different reasons. And if we could fix, half of those reasons, we'll be a top team in the East. Again, the East did not run away from us. We kind of ran away from the East, you know, if you want to just be real about it. So, again, the fixes could be minor. The fixes, I think, are already there to be made. It's just a matter of, again, the accountability factor, which is this why I asked that question earlier. Can the players feel that it's important to be self-accountable and hold themselves to a higher standard? And then will the coaching staff do the same thing? Because, again, no player can just walk on the court and just be playing. And they're not taking themselves out either. Somebody is in charge of that aspect. They got to do it. But again, why would you purposely just let someone just play bad when you're trying to win the game? Okay? And that's where it comes down to is, are we trying to win the game? Because if we are, you can't just let people just do all kind of stuff out there, because we know it happens sometimes. And again, there's been plenty of games this year, more than I remember in a long time, to where I can't watch the rest of this game. They're not trying. That's the again, you don't mind a team losing because it's competition. A team wins and loses. But it's just like, again, when you're playing pickup ball, we can actually replace you when you ain't playing right now. But in the NBA, you can't just do that. But you can be benched, though. You see what I'm saying? I do want to mention a couple of guys who've been watching and listening. DJ German has been watching. Appreciate it. Let's see. C. McLeod. AJ Jennings.
We're
watching tonight. Also, Scott Hayes. Appreciate it. Jamal Price, the Originator of Brands, tuning in tonight. A whole bunch of people have been popping in, popping out. I've seen some regular people the whole time, been watching. They've been commenting and everything. I've been trying to hit them back and everything. So appreciate everybody for supporting tonight. It was a big deal, of course. But I just wanted to make sure I did that before the end of tonight. So, again, tomorrow's the draft. Again, we have the 16th and, what, the 44th pick, I believe, off the top of my head. We're going to see what happens. Again, I feel that it's time for, of course, JJ and Cooper. It's their time. They got to play. Like, there's no reason to not play them now, is there? I don't know. You know, in the situation we are. But they fill holes that we had last year. One, on the energy side, they know nothing but energy because that's who they are as players. Two, Jalen Johnson can rebound. He can run the floor. He can move his feet. He can score. He can shoot. He can rebound. He was playing center down there in College Park a little bit, too. So he can give you a lot of those aspects. Cooper, on his end, you know he can distribute the ball. That's one of the reasons why he was drafted. He and Trae Young are one of two college players that led the teams in points and scoring. What in the world, right? He also had those triple-doubles, too. You know, I wish we could have had, you know, half of those triple-doubles, you know, up with the big team, but it is what it is. But I feel that this, going into this season, they definitely can contribute. Now, whoever is left after all of these free agent moves, whoever gets signed or whatnot, again, the core that is there is basically the same team that was there a year ago. So that's where, again, I say this offseason has to be different 300% than last year, because last year it didn't seem like anything translated, because we have 39 losses to prove that. We gave up 112 points a game to prove that. We kept giving teams 8 to 10% more in three-point percentage to prove that, just because we can't rotate and we overhelp all the time. And, again, this is all on film. We see it in real life. So, again, it's a matter of, I think these things are fixable, but we need help all across the board, including on the coaching staff. We need some experts. We need some tacticians. We need some oomph over there to help out. Nate if he's going to be the coach for this next coming season, as it looks like it's going to be. You know, because otherwise, we could be worse. As scary as that is, Trae Young had a season where he did something no other player had ever done except for one other, lead the league, the NBA, the whole league, in points and assists, and we still lost 39 games. That should never be possible, but it happened. And, of course, we had, again, remember how our season ended. Remember the play calling. Remember inbounds plays. That could be worked out. Hey, guess what? You're not good at inbounding the ball. We need to get somebody else. Why isn't that decision being made, right? How come we are not good at inbounds plays on a regular basis as opposed to other teams? That can be fixed and adjusted, but you have to want to do it, and you got to be capable of doing it. And, again, it's a matter of can we merge that together at some point because, again, what does Trae have to do next year? Actually lead the league in assists and points and then lead assists and points per game as well?
Maybe.
And then also get 8 rebounds a game too? And a couple of block shots? I mean, I think Trae could do it, right? But, well, I don't know about the block shots. But still, it's like, again, something has to be eased off of his plate. And we have enough players to do it. Again, we should have 10 screens a night happening for our shooters. 10 designated screens every single night. Wide open shots happening. We don't do that. Why don't we have a motion-type offense of some sort? Why do we just stand around? Everybody knows it, and all the coaches play against that, too. We self-trap Trae. The players are on the other team already know he ain't moving. So if we do this right now, we're going to take the ball from Trae. Or he's going to have a turnover, or it's going to be a shot clock violation. And what do we see all season? Those three things, right? If I can see it, you can see it, Mr. Rashad Phillips can see it, everybody else who are at the game can see it, how come it's not being worked on and fixed in real time? Because we have 39 losses that should not have happened, 2 play-in games that we shouldn't have had to play, and that ugly first-round exit, which technically we should have beat Miami. We could have beat Miami. We could have beat Miami, doggone it, you know. So, anyway, that's just my spiel on just things. I don't know how it's going to be fixed or adjusted. I'm hoping that we don't trade John for one. And whatever moves we make is going to be conducive to the team winning games, winning for the future, and winning a championship. Whatever has to happen, if it comes out to where we won a championship, then it was worth it. Because the problem is, of course, if it doesn't happen, what were we doing? You know.
Yeah, well, I'm not even entertaining that third because Mr. Rashad Phillips said it here.
I know.
Y'all said it happened. It happened, it will. Now, the one guy, and I will give a shout-out to Reggie. I think his Twitter handle is at Reggie's World. But as he tweeted out earlier, this team is going to go as far as DeAndre Hunter. I ain't going to say as far as he can take it because he's not the one in character, but his play, I think, is the X factor and is key. He does have a lot of potential. He shows these big-time flashes, as we saw with the 35-point effort in Game 5 against Miami. But he's had a lot of injury problems, and he goes through these hot streaks and these cold streaks. We need more consistent play out of him. He has the ability. He has the potential. But, I mean, at the same time, recognizing he does have potential, I cannot sugarcoat this, and this is a fact. He was one of the worst starting players in the NBA last season. Okay? 41st in real plus minus, 40, number 41 out of small forwards. 88 offensively. Okay? 27th around that number defensively, they're the 21st, somewhere in the 20 defensively. That is not good enough. He played at a much better level at that the prior season in the games he did play. And he's got to get back to how he played in the 2021 season and continue to improve off of that. Now, for some reason, we've made him pretty much untouchable. It's already out there that we're going to sign him to a contract extension. I'm waiting to see what the number is because we ought to get the hometown discount on him for the games he missed over the years. And I understand that if they're able to get him for the low market value by going ahead and making the extension right now, but to be honest with you, it still feels kind of weird to me to reward a guy after a down year because When you look at the regular stats and the advanced stats, he pretty much declined in every single stat category. Not talking to trashing him as a player, not saying he's trash, because he's not. He's got some ability. You know what I mean? But we just need him to play up to that potential. We also need him to stay healthy.
Yeah.
That's a big key. In fact, he's the key, in my opinion, as far as the X factor, because you know what you're going to get out of trade. Now, he may be even better, but you at least know what you're getting out of trade. You know if John's here, you know what he's going to do. You know, now if we can get him back in his old role as the role man all the time, he'd do even more, but you know what you're getting out of him. Even with a guy like Clint, you know what you're getting out of Clint. You know, good, basically, great rebounding, pretty solid defense, who has, you know, some deficiencies when it comes to finishing and shooting free throws. And both of you guys mentioned Bogey. I love Bogey. Love his attitude. I'm hoping the recent knee surgery has fixed Bogey, but I do, like you said, like him much better coming off the bench. And I just think he's a great teammate. Like I said, a guy who is pretty fearless. But we just need to find some kind of way to manage his minutes so that by the time we get to the playoffs, he's not hobbling, because it's been the case both of the last 2 years, Chris.
Yeah. So that being said, y'all, we got to end the show. We got about 40 seconds left. So I want to go ahead and mention this. This is probably our last show on Blog Talk Radio. Our next show is going to be live in Atlanta, Georgia, in downtown Atlanta on Hot 2100. So those who have been with us from the beginning, we appreciate all of y'all's support. It's a huge deal for us. We're very excited. Sometime in July, on Wednesday night at 10 o'clock, you're going to hear us say live from downtown Atlanta. So we're very excited about that. We'll be giving you more information as time passes and things of that nature. So thank you again for around the ATL will be in Atlanta. So Jordan, go ahead and sign off for us. Go ahead and tell us what you usually do as we have like 30 seconds left.
Just want to thank all you guys out there, all the hosts, Twitter people for listening to us. We want to go ahead and thank all the people who listen to the podcast. We appreciate you as well. And last but not least, I want to thank Mr. Rashawn Phillips. Great guest, great interview, and last but not least, I got to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta and these Georgia sports that I love.
Definitely make sure you follow us on Twitter, Intellect ATL, and Jordan23 ATL. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page. Please do that, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Of course, follow the Instagram page, IMTN Worldwide Radio, as well. And make sure you go to that sports – here it goes. I got to find it real quick. SportsTalk2319.com. Make sure you pick up his book, The Evolution is Being Televised. You got to get that book, y'all. In the meantime, watch out for the next show around the ATL in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta. It's coming soon. Y'all take care now. Thank you.